In today's episode, I have a couple of important book recommendations and also an invitation for you to join us during Holy Week here at St. Philip the Deacon. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, senior pastor of St. Philip the Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. Good to be with you as always. I have a couple things on my mind this week. One, I want to just circle back a little bit to last week's episode. I know I gave you a whole lot of resources about monasticism and resources by monks and nuns. I hope that was helpful. And by the way, if it wasn't, let me know. If you like those kind of recommendations, also let me know, because I have a whole lot more books in my office where that came from. But following up on that, I just wanted to point out again one of the books I mentioned by Kathleen Norris. I mentioned her a lot. She's an oblate in the Benedictine tradition through St. John's Abbey in Collegeville, an hour and a half or 2 hours from Plymouth here. This is one of her many books she's written, which are influenced or informed by the monastic tradition and her familiarity with it, called Acedia in Me, A Marriage, Monks, and a Writer's Life. And I'm rereading it in part because I mentioned it in last week's episode. And I just want to lift it up again. It is so, so, so good. And I'll just read again. It's a word, acedia is not a word that is familiar to most of us. And so, again, it's a very relevant word, I think, for our culture. In the fly jacket here, she talks about how it might be described as restless boredom, frantic escapism, commitment phobia, and enervating despair, all of which, she says, are the ancient demon of acedia in modern dress. She goes on to say that part of the reason she wrote it is to bring it back into the vernacular, into our language, so that we could be aware of it and address it. She talks about more than once discovering this ancient name of this burden and recognizing how freeing it was to have a name for it. And so again, she says she saw that left unchecked, it, acedia, has the power to destroy the capacity for joy, to undermine commitments to work, marriage, friendship, faith, and community. So again, I'm rereading it. It is really good. And just one kind of fun side story, the word was developed along with seven other words by a monk in the 4th century, Evagrius Ponticus was his name. She references him many times. Those eight words, by the way, that he developed to help monks combat them were gluttony, lust, avarice, sadness, anger, acedia, vainglory, and pride. And interestingly, acedia was, it was recognized, the most burdensome of all of them, the most significant, the most difficult to fight. It was sometimes called the noonday demon. Interestingly, a couple centuries later, that word got removed from those eight when another person, St. Gregory the Great, developed what we now know as the seven deadly sins. And he brought together vainglory and pride and made those one word, pride, took away acedia, and then added envy. And so it's interesting to me that the early monks recognized acedia as very difficult, very troublesome burden, and then a couple centuries later, it gets excised or removed from that list, and then sort of disappears. It shows up again a little bit after World War II, again in the vernacular, but still not particularly well known. So again, I just commend the book to you. The story of the word is maybe not quite that interesting, but the way she writes about it, the condition, is really, really thoughtful and interesting, and I would commend it to you. So that's one thought. The other thought is we are taping this the week before Palm Sunday, so the week before Holy Week. Holy Week is Palm Sunday through Easter. During the season of Lent, as I think I've mentioned, we've been talking about storytelling. In fact, the day we're taping this, we will have our final midweek service around storytelling. And part of why we're doing that is to anticipate retelling, once again, the central story of Jesus, which begins with his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, And then there are the events early in Holy Week, ultimately Maundy Thursday, when he has his Last Supper with his disciples. He ends up being arrested in the garden that night. And then on Good Friday, of course, he is killed on a cross. And then, of course, that moves us to Easter weekend. So a couple thoughts about that. One, I would encourage you, invite you enthusiastically to join us as we retell that story again through our worship services. Again, this coming weekend, Palm Sunday and Saturday, I guess you could say we have our typical schedule. Maundy Thursday, I hope I've got all these times right. We have a 7 o'clock service with the stripping of the altar and Holy Communion. Good Friday, we have a 5 o'clock children's service and a 7 o'clock veneration of the cross and service. 5:30 on Saturday, April 4th, we have our what we call our first light of Easter service. And on Easter Sunday, April 5th, we shift our time slightly from our normal times of 8:15, 9:30, and 10:45 to 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11. Again, part of the invitation, as always with Holy Week, is to enter into this incredible story. And as part of that, I will lift up one other book for you. I know I've lifted this up before. That's okay. I'm going to do it again. It's a series of 12 short plays written for radio for the BBC by Dorothy Sayers in the middle part of the 20th century. Collectively, they're known as The Man Born to Be King, and it's her retelling of the entire life of Jesus. No less than C.S. Lewis himself said this was so good that he reread it actually every Lent, or maybe it was every Holy Week. And I have found that to be a useful and meaningful practice because it allows you to enter into the story so effectively and so well, because she was such a master dramatist and author. And again, one of the important parts of the story, honestly, is precisely that we are invited to participate in it and recognize that we have a place in that story. And so I do hope we will see you here as we recount it once again. I think that's all I wanted to say this week. So I hope this finds you well. I know some people are heading off for spring break soon. If you are traveling, then safe travels for you. I hope you're back in time for Easter weekend. And until next time, as always, be well, stay in touch, and God bless.